Welcome to the podcast of New Creation Christian Center. I am Pastor Marquise Franklin, and I am excited that you would take the time to listen to our latest sermons and what God is doing in this ministry. New Creation Christian Center is in Seattle, led by Pastor Harold and Annis Franklin. And our statement is, come as you are and be transformed by the word of God, as stated in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Now, I don't know what you're going through, but I want you to be encouraged by the word of God that is going to be shared today. Check it out and share it with somebody that may need it. Now, let's get into this week's message.
Praise the Lord. Somebody say praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We thank God for the opportunity to be in the house of God yet one more time. Amen. Well, some people, whether they know about God or know about just gathering with the people of God, I thank God that it's not a burden for us to just come together and join together. Amen. Just growing up in church, sometimes you go to some churches and it's like, oh, I got to go to church again. Man, that person's going to make me spit out my gum. Oh, it's not going to be fun, right? But I thank God that he has allowed us to come together and enjoy doing that. Amen. Let us go ahead and pray, and we're going to open up. I'm going to start something new today. Heavenly Father, I thank you to God for another day, dear God, that you have brought us to together, dear God, and just thank you to God for the time, dear God, that you are meeting us, oh God, through worship and praise, oh God. And we just pray, dear God, that as the word goes forth, dear God, that you would speak to our hearts, oh God, speak to our minds, oh God, speak to our spirits so that we can be in tune with you, God. We glorify you now and forever. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Let the church say, amen and amen. So, as I do, I actually had a dream about somebody that used to go to our church, and I'm not going to say any names, but in my dream, I asked him about, you know, his spiritual life, and he was like, yeah, it's kind of been tough. You know, I feel like I can't hear from God. I feel like this and that, and I was like, when did it start like that for you? And he was like, man, after I left your church. And I was like, wow, you know, this is in my dream. So I was just like, well, you know, when you come to our church, we're not preaching an agenda. You know, have you ever been in a church and they have like an agenda? They're trying to push something on you. I said, we don't do that here. We allow the Spirit of God to just speak to us. And then whatever he says, that's what we preach. Amen. And you know, as I said that in my dream, I woke up and I was like, man, well, I thank God that he's given us that heart where it doesn't have to be an agenda. It doesn't have to be, oh, well, we're here to prove this or we're here to prove that. No, our goal is just to share what God speaks to us, to you, so that we can grow in God. Amen. So I just want to encourage you guys to continue to allow God to speak to you, continue to get in the presence of God and rest in his presence. And he says, in his presence, there is fullness of joy. Amen. Amen. In his presence, there is peace. Amen. In his presence, there is a word. And that word is life. Amen. That word is hope. So when everybody else around you is array, is just in disarray, life is just messed up. Remember, we have hope in the word of truth. Amen. All right. So, Mike, can you give me just a little more volume on the monitors, at least? I feel like I'm shouting already. I guess I'm getting older. Hallelujah. Not too old, though. Amen. Today, as I was sitting down just praying and getting ready for my message, my wife, she heard me because I was like, oh, yes, out of the blue. And I was like, that's because God spoke something to my spirit. And, you know, sometimes when that heat that happens, I'm like, okay, let's go. All right, I got it. Amen. So, yeah, let's go. So what God spoke into my spirit today was a question. Can God use you? Can God use you? Amen. Now, as I actually literally turned on my Bible, this is why it's important to get in the word of God, because he'll speak through his word. Amen. I literally turned on the Bible, and as soon as I turned on the Bible, like, and I have the Bible, it actually reads to me at times. As soon as that happened, I knew what to preach. And it wasn't even, it was very close to what I was going to preach in that chapter, but I felt the Spirit of God send it to me as soon as I turned the Bible app on. This is why it's important to make sure you have the Word of God in you. Amen. It's very important because the more that you are in tune with God's word by reading, listening to it, whatever you need to do to make sure God's word is in you, the more you're going to hear God speak to you personally. Amen. So the question was, can God use you? And I even asked, can God use me? And obviously we want the answer to be yes. Come on, say it with me. Yes. Yes, Lord. Yes. You know what I'm saying? We got to ask God to use us. But then I kind of, as I was praying and just listening to God, he was like, sometimes even us as believers, we don't believe that God can use other people. Right? Sometimes their lifestyle is just too bad. It's too this, it's too that. But how many know that many people that are in junk don't like to be in junk? But that's all they know. Right? In hip hop music, now they call it a trap, right? People are in a trap house. People are in a trap because that's all they know. But when you know something different, we have to be willing to share the gospel with those who may not know the gospel, right? And when it says, can God use you? Sometimes we got to make sure, can he use me? And make sure that my prejudices or the things that I have in my heart don't stop me from sharing the gospel with somebody that doesn't look like somebody that should accept the gospel. Many times we get hung up on, this is really what happened to the Pharisees, is they said, I look like this, and if you don't look like me, God cannot use you. Right? So what begins to happen, and it was no longer, obviously for them, it wasn't Jesus, because Jesus was attacking them all day long because they were hypocrites, as Jesus said, right? But he even told the disciples to obey what they teach, right? But check this out. The reason why they were hypocrites is because they looked at themselves as being holy. And anytime we get to a point where we as Christians say, I'm holy and you are unholy, guess what? You are missing the point. Because as we know, as Christians, as we should know, our righteousness is as filthy rags. But thank God that he is credited. Somebody say credited. That means you didn't deserve it. He's given it to you. He's given you righteousness despite your lifestyle. He's given you righteousness as soon as you accept his son. Right? That's what we get. Righteousness as soon as we accept his son. So what I'm saying is, if God can use us, some things we have to make sure of is that we don't try to consolidate God to our own mind. Right? God, you got to use this person right here because I feel like that's the person. He's tall. You know, she looks good. This person is this. This person is that. But guess what? As I read my Bible, I see many times that the person that everybody else thought God was going to use, it was somebody different. Can we go to David? When we look at David, David had how many older brothers? I think it was 7, 8. It was more. It was a whole bunch of brothers that looked better than David. Matter of fact, the first one, he was there, and the Samuel, when he came to anoint the king, he thought it was going to be the older brother. He said, it got to be him. He looks good. Remember, because check this out. King Saul was that look good type of person, right? So this is, we got to catch this. Samuel was just, and I'm not even getting into what I'm talking about, but Samuel was used to picking the person that looked good because that's all he knew. This was his second time. All right, if King Saul, he was tall, he was handsome. It said King Saul, that was the guy. So he's coming into this place with his eyes saying that has to be him. But when you are in tune with God, you look beyond your eyes. Hey, there's another scripture with Elisha, where his servant and him and Elisha were surrounded by the enemy. And the servant came to Elisha, hey, what are we going to do? We are surrounded. We better just give up or they're going to kill us. That was in the natural eyes. But in the spiritual, Elisha was able to see that there was more with him than there was with the enemy. Right? And he ended up capturing the whole army because he saw with spiritual eyes. So I'm going to ask you, do you have on your spiritual eyes or do you have on your natural eyes? Because in the natural, if you meet somebody that looks like they don't know God, you'll treat them like they shouldn't know God. Right? Now, here goes an Uber story. I picked up this past Thursday. I actually stayed up super late. And I picked up a young lady that was working at a strip club. Right? Now, this lady, she told me she was the manager, the floor manager. And she, one of the things that she said was like, I don't like what I do. Right? She was miserable. And, you know, I never make somebody feel bad because of their lifestyle. Right? If the opportunity comes, we are going to talk and you're going to hear me share the gospel if they are open to it. Right? So she was like, yeah, I came here and my mom had a lot of issues. And, you know, I'm not going to tell her whole story. But really what begins to happen is you see that many people where they are, if I just would have prejudged, I would have looked at her in a certain way thinking, oh, they love that. They want that. They just want money. They just want this. They just want that. But if you look through the eyes of God and you are willing to plant a seed, God can do something in that situation. Amen. This is why the gospel was given. It wasn't given for the righteous. Can I get an amen? The gospel of Jesus Christ was not to save the righteous. Jesus said, I didn't come to save the righteous. Right? I came to save sinners. I came to be a doctor to those that need to be healed. Right? Spiritually, mentally, emotionally, physically. So we as Christians, if we want God to use us, we have to remember that this is not just for us. This is not just so we can come to church, put on our nice clothes, look quote unquote holy, look quote unquote righteous. Oh, I got my three-piece suit, you know, people are going to see me. They know, hey, I'm looking good, right? Guess what? It doesn't mean anything, right? And I, you know, I understand modest, coming to church modestly. I believe in that, okay? But I believe that God can use you no matter what kind of clothes you have on. Some people would think that God can only use them in a suit. I don't see Jesus wearing a suit. I don't see any disciples wearing a suit. Matter of fact, they had to wear some kind of comfortable clothes because they were always going somewhere. Jesus on the mount, walking to the mountain, you think he had a nice robe on? No. He was used to walking in these places. He was used to traveling. He was with the people. Amen. It says in the Bible, if we really look about who Jesus was, it said there was nothing that would make you want Jesus in the natural eyes. He was not a handsome guy. He didn't look good, right? I know we make these pictures and sometimes there's paintings of Jesus and he just looks so, in these movies, he just looks so, oh man, he just looks so good looking, right? But it says Jesus was not good looking. So once again, we have to catch this. We have to catch this. It, even accepting Jesus did not come from your natural eyes. When Peter was saying God, when Jesus asked them, who do you say I am? Peter didn't see this in the natural. He saw it in the spirit. That's why he said, you are the Son of the living God. How did he know that? Because God revealed it to him. So our prayer is, if God can use us, God, reveal yourself to us so we can also reveal you to others. Amen. Now, I'm going to go to Joshua chapter 2. We're going to crack the word open. And this is about Joshua going into Jericho, but God had, or God allowed them to go through somebody that is uncommon. Somebody say uncommon. Uncommon means this does not normally happen. All right? Now let's go. It says now, Joshua chapter 2, verse 1. Now Joshua, the son of Nun, sent out two men from Achiah Grove to spy secretly, saying, go, view the land, especially Jericho. So they went and came to the house of a harlot named Rahab and lodged there. Now, first of all, when you say they went to a harlot's house, that don't sound too good. Now, look, I'm going to back it up, though, because if you guys remember, especially in the Bible study, it's kind of interesting that Joshua only sent two. Because remember, last time they sent 12 into the land, right? And 10 of them came back with a bad report. So Joshua was not on, hey, I'm not sending 12 people no more. They messed it up. I just found that kind of funny because Joshua was one of those two. Him and Caleb were the only two that had a good report. So he only sends two. And it says, verse 2, and it was told the king of Jericho, saying, behold, men have come here tonight from the children of Israel to search out the country. So the king of Jericho sent to Rahab, saying, bring out the men who have come to you, who have entered your house, for they have come to search out all the country. Then the woman took the two men and hid them. So she said, yes, the men came to me, but I did not know where they were from. And it happened as the gate was being shut when it was dark that the men went out quickly. I'm sorry, went out where the men, I do not know. Pursue them quickly, for you may overtake them. But she had brought them up to the roof and hidden them from the stalks of flax, which she had laid in order on the roof. Then the men pursued by the road to the Jordan to the fords, and as soon as those who pursued them had gone out, they shut the gate. Now before they lay down, she came up to them on the roof and said to the men, I know, now check this out. First of all, I'm going to say this. They went to an uncommon place, but God is already doing something in her, right? Because she's already going to tell them, she's going to say, I know that the Lord has given you the land. How does she know this? Huh? How does she know? God must have been revealing himself to her, right? Now, why is God revealing himself to this prostitute in Jericho, right? And obviously, her story was valid to the men because they were used to men coming in and out of her house. They knew she was a prostitute, right? But God is revealing himself to her. Amen? What verse were we at? Verse 9. And I said to the men, I know the Lord has given you the land, that the terror of you has fallen on us, and that all the inhabitants of the land are faint-hearted because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to the two kings of the Amorites who were on the other side of the Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. And as soon as we heard these things, our hearts melted. Neither did there remain any more courage in anyone because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and on earth beneath. Now check this out. What's happening right there? She's declaring God as God. Right? Now check this out. Can I say something? I believe that the whole city or whatever this is, Jericho is, right? I believe that whole place was in fear. But all of those people in that place did not revere God as the true living God. Right? See, it's a difference to fear God, and then there's another difference to know that God is in control. Right? To fear him to the point where I will respect him with my whole life. Right? She got to the point, yeah, we're scared. We see what was going on, but it's more than just what's going on. I'm going to trust that God is really God. And I'm going to proclaim that he is God. Amen? We're talking about the prostitute in this situation. But God revealed himself to her. Amen. Ask yourself, can God use me? All right, let's keep on going. It says verse 12. Now, therefore, I beg you, swear to me by the Lord, since I have shown you kindness, that you also will show kindness to my father's house and give me a true token and spare my father, my mother, my brothers, my sisters, and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death. So the men answered her, our lives for yours, if none of you tell this business of ours, and it shall be, when the Lord has given us the land, that we will deal kindly with and truly with you. Then she let down a rope by which, then she let them down by a rope through the window, for her city, for her house was on the city wall. She dwelt on the wall. And she said to them, get to the mountain, lest the pursuers meet you. Hide there 3 days until the pursuers have returned. Afterward, you may go your way. So the men said to her, we will be blameless of this oath of yours, which you have made us swear, unless when we come into the land, you bind the line of scarlet cord in the window through which you let us down. And unless you bring your father and your mother, your brothers, and all your brother's household to your own home, so it shall be that whoever goes outside the doors of your house into the street, his blood shall be on his head, and we will be guiltless. And whoever is with you in the house, his blood shall be on our head if a hand is laid on him. And if you tell this business of ours, then we will be free from your oath, which you have made us swear. Okay. So what is she doing here? She's now making an alliance with the people of God. Right. It's interesting. Once again, this is somebody that heard what God was doing. Now, guess what? I'm pretty sure there's people in this world that hear or have heard what God has done. And many times they're curious. Oh, man, I remember that my grandma had this and somebody prayed for her and she was healed. Right? These are stories that really people really have, but they may not have fully given their life to God yet, but they're curious. This is why we plant the seeds. Right? When we say, can God use us? God can use us when we are available. Right? This lady Rahab, and I thank God that God redeemed her from the lifestyle that she was attached to. Amen? That's what happens when you say, God, I'm available to you. When you are available, what God does is he begins to fix you and clean you up and put you in a place where he wants to use you if you say, God, I'm available, right? I think this is the biggest part of being a believer in Christ. It's not just accepting God, but after we accept him and say, God, my life is available for you to do whatever you need to do with me, right? When you get to that place, then you can be effective in the kingdom of God. But just if you say, God, thank you, God, for saving me. Appreciate it, Lord. I'm going to just try to live my life for you and honor you with all I can. I'll catch you in heaven. Peace. Right? Guess what? That's not going to be an effective Christian. You may have gotten saved, right? But I believe that being saved doesn't make you effective. I believe your availability makes you effective. Right? Because we can even talk about sports. It's not about you making the team. It's what you do when you are on the team. It's all the hard work that you put in to maintain being on the team. Right? Because we know plenty of, even growing up, we know plenty of athletes that were great athletes. But when it was time for them to do certain things to make and go to the next level, they weren't available. Couldn't find them. There was a party the night before and they ended up missing out on their opportunity, right? Because they weren't available. I remember another kid that I drove in an Uber, and this kid was like 15, 16 maybe, super short guy, but he was super fast. And he was like, man, I want to play football. But I picked him up, and he was high. And I said, oh, you really want to play football? Well, listen, man, if you really want to play football, you can't partake in that lifestyle. Because all your friends that are saying that, oh, man, get drunk and get high, guess what? They're not going to make it. He's like, man, it's so hard, Marquise. I don't know how to do it. I said, man, if you set goals in your life, there's certain things you won't do. So I told him, I said, I've never drank. I've never smoked. And when you drive Uber, so for some reason people, hey, you want to? No, I don't. I don't do that. I've never drank anything in my life. I have no desire to drink something. I never smoked in my life. Not cigarettes, not weed, not no blunts. I don't have a desire for that stuff. I don't care how many times you ask me, the answer is still going to be no. Hey, you want to come in the club with us? No. Why? Because I'm not available for that kind of stuff. Check this out. Your availability to God means you are unavailable for some other things. You catch that? When you are available to God, there's some things I just cannot do anymore. And some people were like, oh, well, you have grace. No, I know we got grace, but God's grace will keep you available for God. See, a lot of people talk about grace and it's you crossing these lines. But guess what? Grace can keep you in the lines. The power of God's grace is that he gives you the ability to follow him. That's grace. We didn't deserve that. We didn't earn it. But his grace keeps us in him. Amen. So if I'm available for God, I'm unavailable when somebody else calls me. Right? And it's important. There's some people, you know, on the phone, you have to block some people. Some of those telemarketers, they're blocked. I got this thing on my phone. It's an app where it automatically blocks people that are telemarketers. So it's very rare that a telemarketer gets through my phone. Right? You need to have the Spirit of God within you that blocks certain things from coming in. But you got to be available to hear what he's saying. Because guess what? Some of the things that look like this is something I should be available for are actually things that you shouldn't be available for. The Bible says that the enemy doesn't come like, oh, rah, I'm the devil. It says he comes as an angel of light to deceive. One of the greatest things that devil can do is deceive. He did it to Eve, right? And he's constantly doing it now. Now, in the Ubers, I got a lot of Uber stories today. Now, actually, let me go back to that story with the kid. After I told him that, he was like, man, I can do that. Why? But it's planting seeds, letting people know that you can be greater than where you are, right? And I told him, you could do it. You could do all things with God who gives you strength. And then he showed me some highlights. I was like, man, listen, if you stay the course, you can even be better than that. And this kid's like 5'6". I mean, I seen the play where he's just running through these people. I mean, he's super fast. Gifted. And I said, man, but you can't be caught up with the wrong things or it's going to hinder your career. I was going to say another story. I can't remember the story I was going to say. But that's all right. That's all right. Let's get back to this. Verse 20. It says, actually on verse 21, it says, then she said, according to your words, so be it. And she sent them away and they departed and she bound the scarlet cord in the window. They departed and went to the mountain, and they stayed there 3 days until the pursuers returned. The pursuers sought them all along the way, but did not find them. So the two men returned, descended from the mountain, and crossed over, and they came to Joshua, the son of Nun, and told him all that had befallen them. And they said to Joshua, check this out. Truly the Lord has delivered all the land into our hands, for indeed all the inhabitants of the country are faint-hearted because of us. Now, where did they hear that? From Rahab, right? Rahab told them everybody in the land is scared. There is no courage in Jericho, right? She helped them bring back the good reports because God had been working on her. And she was available. Now, guess what? She could have been available for some other things. Right? Especially, I don't think they gave her no money. Right? She could have been like, it's all about this money. But she was like, no, God is working on my heart. And for some reason, I know that you guys are from the Israelites, and I know that your God is really God. That's a testimony in itself. We're going to go ahead and read Joshua chapter 6, because this is when they come in and destroy Jericho. Now check this out. Now Jericho was secretly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. And the Lord said to Joshua, "See, I have given Jericho into your hand, its king and the mighty men of valor. You shall march around the city." Okay, it's a city. I'm sorry about that. "All you men of war, you shall go all around the city once. This you shall do 6 days. And 7 priests shall bear 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark. But the 7th day you shall march around the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow the trumpets. It shall come to pass when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, that all the people shall shout with a great shout. Then the wall of the city will fall down flat, and the people shall go up, every man straight before him." Okay? Verse 6 says, "Then Joshua the son of Nun called the priests and said to them, 'Take up the ark of the covenant and let 7 priests bear 7 trumpets of the ram's horns before the ark of the Lord.' And he said to the people, 'Proceed and march around the city, and let him who is armed advance before the ark of the Lord.' So it was when Joshua had spoken to the people that the 7 priests bearing the 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the Lord advanced and blew the trumpets. And the ark of the covenant of the Lord followed them. The armed men went before the priests who blew the trumpets, and the rear guard came after the ark while the priests continued blowing the trumpets. Now Joshua had commanded the people, saying, 'You shall not shout or make any noise with your voice, nor shall a word proceed out of your mouth until the day I say to you, shout, then you shall shout.'" All right, now let me stop there, because unfortunately, sometimes we have to get this. If you're available to do something for God, sometimes you just got to be quiet and just listen to what God says. Now it says, when they marched around this place, that nobody should make any noise. Now, we all know how hard that is, especially if we can't keep our mouth closed, right? But thank God, because they were available to God, they said, "We're going to be obedient. We're going to listen." Now, this may sound a little abstract. We're going to march around this place 6 times silently for 6 days, 1 time per day, right? And on the 7th day, we're going to march around this thing 7 times. Are we getting ready for a triathlon or something? We don't know, right? But they did it because they knew that God was powerful. Now, check this out. You guys remember the Israelites crossed the Red Sea, right? That was God really showing them that, hey, I'm all powerful. Now, the Israelites with Joshua, they crossed the Jordan on dry land, same thing. And not only did they cross it, they ended up picking up stones from out of the water and set these stones up as a remembrance of what God did, right? So that they wouldn't forget. Because behold, I don't know why I said that. For some reason, the people of Israel who crossed the Red Sea began to forget what God had done. But when you can remember what God has done in your life, what begins to happen is you are reminded of what he does, and you will continue to say, "Hey, that same God that did that, he is able to do this." Amen. I remember when I was stuck in this situation, and if it wasn't for God, my life would have been gone. But thank God, this is why you testify. This is why you share what God has done in your life, because if somebody hears that, they can be like, "That same God that did that, that gives me hope. Man, I can't remember the time where that happened to me, but because I know God is working in brother or sister's life, I can say, man, he's able to do the same in my life." Amen. This is why we don't get grudges about what God is doing in somebody else's life. We celebrate with them. Because that means God is active. Amen? He is alive. He is still moving in our lives. So, let's get back to this story. They can't talk. So he had the Ark of the Covenant, Ark of the Lord, circled the city, going around it once. Then they came into the camp and lodged in the camp. And Joshua rose early in the morning, and the priest took up the Ark of the Lord, the seven priests bearing the seven trumpets of ram's horns before the Ark of the Lord went on continually and blew with the trumpet, and the armed men went before them. But the rear guard came after the Ark of the Lord while the priests continued blowing the trumpets. And the second day they marched around the city once and returned to the camp. All right? Now, thank God the Bible just says, so they did it 6 days, because we could have kept reading the same thing over and over. Right? Verse 15 says, but it came to pass on the seventh day that they rose early about the dawning of the day and marched around the city seven times in the same manner. On that day only they marched around the city seven times. And the seventh time it happened when the priests blew the trumpets that Joshua said to the people, shout, for the Lord has given you the city. Now, this is a word. God has already given you some things, but your obedience is what's going to allow it to manifest. Right? Now, you know, some people might be like, oh, that's a prosperity message. No, it's not. This is how God works. When you are obedient to God, he moves. When you obey his word, he moves. The Bible says when you speak the word of God, right? Or even when his word, whatever, everything that is in his word, it will not return void. So when you are obedient in conjunction with God's word in your life, God begins to do some great things, right? All right, so shout, for the Lord has given you the city. Now, the interesting thing about this is one of the main cities that they were going to get, right? Because of their obedience, it was a lot easier than if they would have tried to do it on their own strength. Just think about this. The war is they're going to destroy these big old walls that were up, keeping them out from what God had for them, right? Says, now the city shall be doomed by the Lord to destruction, it and all who are in it. Only Rahab the harlot shall live, she and all who are with her in the house, because she hid the messengers that were sent. And you, by all means, abstain from the accursed things, lest you become accursed when you take of the accursed things and make the camp of Israel accursed and trouble it. But all the silver and gold and vessels of bronze and iron are consecrated to the Lord. They shall come into the treasury of the Lord. So the people shouted with the priests when the priests blew the trumpets. And it happened when the people heard the sound of the trumpets, and the people shouted with a great shout, that the wall fell down flat. Then the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. And they utterly destroyed all that was in the city, both man and woman, young and old, ox and sheep, and donkey, with the edge of the sword. But Joshua said to the two men who have spied out the country, go into the harlot's house, and from there bring out the woman and all that she has, as you swore to her. And the young men who had been spies went in and brought out Rahab, her father, her mother, her brothers, and all that she had. So they brought out all of her relatives and left them outside the camp of Israel. But they burned the city and all that was in it with fire. Only the silver and the gold and the bronze and the vessels of bronze and iron they put into the treasury of the house of the Lord. And verse 25 says, and Joshua spared Rahab the harlot, her father's household, and all that she had. So she dwells in Israel to this day, because she hid the messengers whom Joshua sent to spy out Jericho. Then Joshua charged them at the time, saying, cursed be the man before the Lord who rises up and builds the city of Jericho. He shall lay his foundation with his firstborn, and his youngest he shall set up with his gate. So the Lord was with Joshua, and his fame spread throughout the country. Now, Rahab's availability, we kind of hear it at the end, saved her whole household. This is the power of one saying, I'm available to you, God, right? As we see, it's kind of interesting because when you look at this, this is kind of what's going to happen to everybody that doesn't know God when he comes back, right? He says, you know, in the New Testament, there's a scripture where he talks about, hey, should we cut the weeds out and let the good plants grow by itself? And he said, no, let it grow together, and I'll get my people, and after that, we will destroy everything else with fire. And they did the same thing here, right? So a lot of times you see in this scripture, a lot of times with Joshua, you see what's going to happen when Christ returns. But in this story, because of Rahab's willingness to know who God is and proclaim who God is, she was saved and her whole household was saved. This is the power of being available. Now check this out. I'm going to say this to you. You may be available to God, and your availability to God shows people in your family, man, she's for real. Or he's for real. What happened, man? And he got saved and his life changed. His whole life changed. Right? Man, you know, Sister Jane, before she got saved, she used to do this and that. Now she got saved and all she wants to do is be in the house of God. Guess what? They're watching that. And your availability to God is going to begin to produce questions in them, curiosity in them. But as you continue to tell your testimony about what God is doing, they're going to be like, man, I'm going to have to try that God. Because I've heard all the things that God has done, but now I see it. Because guess what? Check this out. The same thing happened with Lot and his family in Sodom and Gomorrah, right? Everybody that was in Lot's house would be saved if they obeyed. But Lot's wife didn't obey. And she wasn't saved. Now, guess what? Rahab could have told her parents and her family, hey, listen, these men came in. They're going to save us. You just got to be in the house at this time. They could have been like, you crazy. Right? I mean, they must have slipped you something different this time. Right? Or it could have been like Noah. Hey, God is trying to save you. All you got to do is get on the ark. It's going to rain. Rain? What are you talking about? So what I'm saying is there's going to be times where people hear you and follow you. Then there's going to be times where some people just heard you and they won't accept it. But nonetheless, you still share what God has given you if you are available to God. Amen. God is looking for people in this day and age that will say, God, I am available to you. Whatever you need to do in me, I am available for that. That's the power of him transforming your life. See, God doesn't just transform you, clean you up so he can put you on a shelf and be like, oh, that looks good. You see that? I did that. No, he wants you to display him. It's crazy because we fix things up and we want people to see those things, but God fixes us up so we can show who he is in our life and what he's done. Amen. Let's be available for God. God, I thank you for your word. I thank you for this time. I pray, dear God, that you just begin to touch our spirits even now. Dear God, that everything that's in us, oh God, it would desire to please you. Dear God, everything that's in us, oh God, that we would want to be available to you, oh God. I pray for any hindrances that keep us, dear God, that keep us bound, thinking that we're not good enough. I thank you, God, that you have credited to us righteousness, oh God. I thank you, God, that you have, as many people say, we are available, so you make us able to do whatever you need to do, God. I pray to God I thank you that you give us the ability to be your people, to be your vessels, oh God, in this world. And I pray to God that as we share, as we plant seeds, oh God, that you get the glory, that you get the increase, that lives come to you, oh God. But as your word says, if you are lifted up, you will draw all men unto you, God. So help us lift you up in all that we do. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Let the church say, Amen.
We thank you for listening to today's sermon, and we pray that you are impacted to become the new creation that God desires. We at New Creation Christian Center invite you to come join us for service Saturday at 7 p.m. or Sunday at 11 a.m. located at 5150 South Cloverdale Street, Seattle, Washington. Also, feel free to visit us online at newcreationwa.org. New Creation Christian Center, the path to genuine life, where you can come as you are and be transformed by the Word of God.